If you got them, I want to see them. All right. Anybody without one, put them down. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. Anybody need a Bible, raise your hand. Dave, do you not have your Bible with you? Kyle, do you have your Bible? Does Dave have your Bible, Kyle? Dave, do you not have a Bible with you? Dave, be honest, do you have Kyle's Bible? Dave, do you have a Bible of your own in chapel today, Dave? I believe Dave needs healing, don't you? Okay, Dave, out in the middle of the aisle. We're going to lay hands on this guy. He needs healing. Get out here, lay hands on him. We're going to heal Dave today. Everybody out in the aisle. Everybody out in the aisle. We're laying hands on Dave. We're going to heal Dave today. Let's go. Okay, we're having a healing service. Repeat after me. Everybody, if you can't get your hands on Dave, get your hands on your neighbor. Everybody touching. You ready? Repeat after me. Evil demons come out. Evil demons come out. Sweet Bible angels go in. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Amen. All right, you may be seated. If you would take those Bibles and open them together with me to the book of Deuteronomy, right around the front of your Bible in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. Yesterday we talked about reaping what you sow. That was our principle. We talked about the first law of Genesis. We said that everything you do has a consequence. If you sow to good, Christ Jesus will bless you with good. If you sow to evil, the old devil will bring evil in your life. So you sow good seeds, Jesus Christ will bless you for it. Today we're going to talk about blessings some more. We're going to talk about the blessings available to us when we're obedient to God and His Word. Look at Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verses 19 and 20. This is God speaking to His people, and He says to them, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, God says, everything I've created is my witness. He said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed or your children may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling unto Him, for He is your life. He is the length of your days, that you may dwell in the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. God's saying to His people, He says, I have set everything out before you. There is life and blessing over here, and there's death and cursing over here. If you want to obey me and walk in the life, I will just shower my blessings upon you. If you choose not to love me and obey me, you will walk over here where Satan is, and you will get cursing all of your life. Now, I want you to turn back a couple of pages to Deuteronomy 28. And this talks about the blessings for obedience. This is how God will bless us in Christ His Son. If we obey the Lord Jesus and follow Him and do what He says, we'll get manifold, many, many blessings. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently, that means listen with all you can, unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all of His commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and even overtake you if you will listen unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause the enemies that rise up against you to be smitten even before your face. They shall come out against you one way, but they will flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you in your storehouses and in everything that you set your hand to do. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God will give you. He shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Notice what he says here. He says, if you will listen to what God says and do it the way he says to do it, no matter what it is, if you will listen to him and do it the way he says to do it, everything that you do, God will bless that. I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing. Say amen.
Amen.
I want to be blessed by God. I had rather have the blessings that God has for me than the cursings that Satan has out there. I want to walk with the Lord. I want happiness and wonderful things in my life. But God says, if you'll do it my way, I will bless you. I will teach you how to do everything you need to know. Everything, I'll do that. Now, I want you to go to the New Testament, to the book of John. Chapter 14. And listen what Jesus himself said about this. This very same thing. Look at John chapter 14 and verse, let's look at 23. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father, God, will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will abode with him. Or in other words, we will live with him. Now listen to what he says. He says, if you love me, keep my words. And I will come to you, me and the Father, and we will live with you and in you. Don't you know that it's a wonderful blessing to have God living with you and in you? Jesus said, if you love me, do the things I ask you to do. Not only do I want you to do the things that I ask you to do, but do them the way I tell you to do them. If you do, I will bless you. You know what the word bless means? It means to fill you up and to give you much happiness. To fill you up and give you much happiness. I don't know about you, but I want much happiness. Amen? Much happiness. I don't want just a little happiness. I don't want just some happiness. Everywhere I go and everything that I do, I want happiness. And Jesus said, if you will follow my instructions and love me and do the things that I tell you to do the way I tell you to do them, you will have much happiness. Now, I want to give you an illustration. I want to tell you how I learned to ride a bicycle. How many of you can ride a bicycle? Just about everybody in here can ride a bicycle. Well, I was an old man before I learned how to ride a bicycle. I was 8 years old. When I was 8 years old, all of my friends, we lived in a big, on a street that used to be my grandfather's farm, and my dad had 11 siblings. He had 8 or 9 brothers and a couple of sisters. There was 11, all of them, and as my uncles and aunts grew up and got married, my grandfather split the farm up amongst them, and the whole street that I lived on was my aunts and uncles and cousins and, you know, in-laws and outlaws and all that kind of stuff. And all of my friends and all of my cousins and stuff down the road had bicycles, and they could ride bicycles, and I didn't have one. And I didn't have one until I was 8 years old. And so a couple of months before my 8th birthday, I started begging my parents for a bicycle. You know, you do this kind of stuff. Maybe you don't admit it. But I said, you know, I don't have a bicycle. I need a bicycle. Everybody's got a bicycle. I don't have a bicycle. Give me a bicycle. I need a bicycle. And everywhere my dad went, I followed him around going, Daddy, I need a bicycle. Give me a bicycle. I want a bicycle. Buy me a bicycle. Everybody's got a bicycle. You know? And finally, he got tired of that. I was persistent. Jesus said, be persistent. Daddy, give me a bicycle. I need a bicycle. They got a bicycle. You got a bicycle. I need a bicycle. You got a bicycle. I'm going to go. Give me the bicycle. On my 8th birthday, guess what I got? How'd you know? Duh. On my 8th birthday, I woke up
and I walked in, and there was a brand new shiny bicycle. Wow. Sitting in the living room of the house, it was just big, and it was beautiful, and there was a Schwinn, and back then the Schwinn was the Reebok or the Nike of bicycles, you know? And boy, used it, and I was so excited, and I took that thing out, and we had a long driveway, and my friends, they were out, and they were riding, and I was looking, look, I got a bicycle! I got a brand new bicycle! I got a better bicycle than everybody would ride this bicycle. And I got on that bicycle, and I didn't know you had to learn to ride. I thought you just was born with bicycle riding in you, you know? And I got on that bicycle, and I started down that driveway, and I went about that far, and that thing, boom, and I cut my knee. And it hurt. Have you ever cut your knee? You know what I did? I got up and I kicked that bicycle. Poof. I said, that bicycle ain't don't do what it's supposed to. I ain't riding. I can't ride that bicycle. And all my friends and my cousins, they were out there looking. They were laughing. Gary, but you can't ride the bicycle, Johnny. Shut up, Gary. Well, that bicycle sat under that carport for about 3 weeks. And every day my dad would get up and he'd leave to go to work and he'd say, you gonna learn to ride that bicycle today, Johnny? I'd say, I'm gonna fall down there, my knee. After about 3 weeks, my dad got up one morning and he came in there and he woke me up and he said, I'm going to work. He said, today when I get home from work, if you have not learned to ride that bicycle, you and I are going to learn how to ride the bicycle. Today's the day. I thought, uh-oh. All day. I mean, I went to school that day, and all I could think about was, boy, Daddy's going to come home this evening, and I'm not going to be able to ride that bicycle. And I mean, Dad, he's going to beat me, and everything's going to be terrible. That's all I could think about. I got home that afternoon. I had plenty of time. I should have got out and tried to learn that bicycle, and I couldn't. And then Daddy came home. I'm sitting on the sofa, and he walks in. He said, did you learn to ride that bicycle today, son? I said, I can't. He said, what do you mean you can't? I said, I can't ride that bicycle. Daddy fell down and rode it by the skin of my knee. He said, come on. We're going to learn to ride the bicycle today. Daddy gets me under one arm, goes out the carport, gets the bicycle under the other arm. You know what I'm doing? I'm crying. You knew that. I'm going, ooh, Daddy, please don't make me ride this bicycle. I can't ride that bicycle. You know I can't ride that bicycle. My daddy, boy, I'm going to get me out of here. Now, where I lived, there was a huge hill in my daddy's front yard. Great big. And it's not too big, but when you're 8 years old and you're going up it, it looks like Mount Everest. And my daddy had me under one arm and the bicycle on the other, and we're climbing Mount Everest. And my daddy, all the way up, he's saying, son, here's how you ride a bicycle. And he was telling me, you do this, 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 you know. He's telling me all the things. I couldn't hear a word he said. You know why? Oh, daddy, please, I'm going to come with everybody. We got to the top of Mount Everest. My daddy takes the bicycle and he puts the back wheel between his legs and clamps it down. He takes me, he plants me firmly on the seat, and he says, son, here's the way you ride a bicycle. You just set your little hiney on the seat. He says, you put your feet on the pedals, you put your hands on the handlebars. And he says, you just kind of pedal, and you get your balance. He said, if you want to go to the right, you just kind of lean to the right. And if you want to go to the left, you just kind of lean to the left. And that's all there is to riding a bicycle, about five things. I didn't hear a word he said. You know why? Oh, daddy, please. Oh, I can't ride that bicycle. Won't you put daddy, won't you put down that is a move. Oh. You know what daddy did? He said, here we go, son. One, two, three. that bicycle with me on it started down Mount Everest at 143,345 miles per hour. About 20 feet from my daddy. I was so afraid. You know what I did? I let go of the handlebars and I went, ah! Did you know what happened when I let go of the handlebars? The front wheel of that bicycle hit just a little teeny tiny itty bitty little bitty tiny rock. And the front wheel went, do you know what happens when you're going a billion miles an hour down Mount Everest on a bicycle and the front wheel goes? The front wheel stops. The back wheel don't. Yeah. The front wheel stops and automatically the back wheel launches into outer space. The back wheel comes across the front wheel and automatically annihilates, crushes, and destroys everything in between. Me and the bicycle were laying at the bottom of Mount Everest. In a crumpled, twisted up mess of massive metal and humanity. And I start feeling stuff. And I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive. And then, out of the corner of my eye, I happen to look up and I see my daddy coming down Mount Everest. And he's doing this. Oh, son, that was wonderful! And I thought, oh, Jesus, my daddy's brain dead. He thinks this is wonderful. And for the first time in my life, I understood where Gary came from. My dad comes down to the bottom of the hill. He gets me under one arm. He gets the bicycle under the other arm. And did you know where we went? How did you know? Back to the top of Mount Everest. Boom, 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 boom. My daddy saying, oh, son, that was wonderful. Now, listen, here's how you ride a bicycle. You just set your little, and you do this, and you do that. Do you think I heard a word he said? You know why? Got to the top. My daddy set me down on that seat and he said, now, son, you stop that crying. I did. You know what I got? Do you think I heard a word my daddy said? Put that bicycle between his legs, clamp down on that back wheel, set my little honey dude right there on that seat. He said, son, here's how you do it. Hands on the handlebars, feet on the pedals, planted firmly on the seat, lean to the left, lean to the right, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. You know what I did? Crashed and burned. I looked up this time, and guess who was standing there? Gary. You know what he was doing?
Johnny, you're going to die.
this happened five more times. On the seventh time, I'm laying down there in that massive mess of bleeding metal and humanity, and I realize that my daddy is serious. And I'm either going to learn to ride that bicycle, or they're going to be having my funeral. And I got to thinking, my daddy loves me.
Son,
you know, sometimes love doesn't seem like love. Sometimes love is a little bit tough. But my daddy had always loved me. He had always done the best for me. He had always given me his very best to try to teach me the right thing. And I got to thinking, my daddy loves me, and he wants me to be blessed. And what a blessing it will be if I learn to ride this bicycle. And I thought, my daddy can ride a bicycle. He knows how to ride a bicycle. And maybe, just maybe, if I listen to him, I can learn to ride this bicycle. Either that or die. And so he's halfway down the hill going, "Oh, son, that was wonderful." And I got up, and I got the bicycle, and I started pushing it up the top of the hill. And boy, my daddy lit up like a Christmas tree. He went, "It's wonderful, you know?" And he comes down, he helps me, and we go to the top of the hill, and I stopped crying, and I stopped snubbing. You know, I still had snot and everything everywhere, but I stopped snubbing. And my daddy, he, you know, clamped up, and he put me on the seat, and I started listening to what he said. And I planted my little, you know, honeydew right firmly on the seat, and I held the handlebars. And I thought about pedaling, and I thought about leaning to the left and leaning to the right. And all my friends were watching, and they had been laughing at me, and they were standing up down the street. And my daddy said, 1, 2, 3, shoo! And I was doing everything my daddy said, and you know what? Yeah, I got about halfway down Mount Everest and realized I was riding the bicycle. And my friends were standing on the street, and they were cheering, going, "Yay!" And I was so excited. You know what I did? I went, "Yay!" Gary, standing at the bottom of a hill, he went, "That was really smart, Johnny." But I got the bicycle, and I went back up to the top. We did the same thing the next time. I go down the hill. I'm riding the bicycle. You know why? Because I'm listening. I had listened to everything my father was saying, and my friends are cheering, and I was filled up and had much happiness, although I was bleeding from every place I owned, you know, but I had much happiness. And I got to the bottom of the hill, and in my daddy's yard, at the bottom of this hill, you cross our driveway, and there's a creek there. Oh, it's about 30 feet wide and has about 4 or 5 feet of water in it. And I got down to the creek, and he hadn't told me about brakes. Some things you have to learn the hard way. You know what I did? I remembered. Lean to the left, lean to the right. I leaned to the right, I fell down, but didn't go in the creek. My daddy said, "Oh, son, I forgot to tell you about brakes." I said, "Thanks, you know." He told me about brakes, went back to the top, down the hill, made a smooth turn, right at the back, and I was riding that bicycle. My friends were cheering. I was being blessed. By the end of the day, I could ride that bicycle. I mean, I rode that bicycle everywhere, up and down the street. My grandmother, her name was Ma Ware. Her name was Maggie. We called her Ma. Ma and Paul Ware. She was a great big woman. She was beautiful. Oh, but she was a big, huge woman. And she was sitting on her front porch and rocking her rocking chair. And she could see all of her grandchildren all down in the valley where we lived. And she was a matriarch, you know, of our family. And she would sit on that rocking chair, and she would rock back and forth. And I wanted my grandmother to see me. And I rode up to her house, and I said, "Look, Ma." And Ma was great big. Ma was so much fun. Ma was so big. And she was so sweet. When you were a little kid, you loved to sit in Ma's lap. You would go sit down in Ma's lap, and she was so big that you would sink in. And you could get Ma tickled, and she would laugh, and she would start rumbling. You could get her laughing and get her rumbling, and she'd be rocking in that rocking chair, and it's like being at Carowinds. Yee-haw! Woo! Oh, I loved her. I can't wait to see her again. She's in heaven with the Lord. But I rode up, and I was waving at Ma and riding the bicycle, and she's screaming and yelling, "Yay, Johnny, I love you, I love you. I love you too, Ma," you know? Just riding all over the place. I rode that bicycle with my friends everywhere, and I was so blessed. I was filled up with much happiness. And you know why? Because after some trial and error, I finally decided that my father knew best, that he knew what he was talking about. And if I would do what he said the way he said it, I would be blessed too. And that's what God's Word says to you and I. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and you will be blessed and filled up with much, much happiness. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. If you believe that, say amen. Let us pray. Our Father, oh Lord, we love you and we bless you and we thank you. Father, you teach us so much in this life, and your word tells us that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father, for knowing what is best, and for telling us the things that will make us blessed and fill us up with much happiness. Lord Jesus, help us to follow you today in all that we do, and to trust you to guide us every step of the way. We love you, we praise you. We thank you for dying on Calvary for our sin, and we make our prayer in your precious name, and all God's people said, amen.